Blog Talk Radio. a form of godliness, but then they're denying the power. Amen. They're denying the power thereof. And the Bible says for us to stay away from that type, to run away from that type. Amen. Because a lot of times we think, because, yeah, I could probably pray the house down on the outside. But what is I'm doing? What is happening on the inside? Amen. So tonight we're going to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 3. I'm going to go right to, I'm going to start at verse 1 into verse 5. And our scripture will be verse 5. Amen. Hallelujah. This know also that I, in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Wow. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Amen. And we're going to talk about the form of godliness. Amen. We're going to talk about a few things. We're going to talk about, but this form is insufficient unless it be united with the power of godliness. And we know what insufficient means. I don't know about you, but I know what it means, because there's been time when I put the bank card in there and that piece of paper came out, say, insufficient funds. There's been times when I swiped the card and it said insufficient funds. So if you don't know what insufficient means, it means ain't nothing in there. It's nothing. It's blank. So we're going to talk about even that, the form of insufficient, unless it be untied with the power of godliness. It has to be united with the power of godliness. Amen. And we're going to talk about notwithstanding the clear evidence of the truth, because these are like many who satisfy themselves with the form of God, but without the power of godliness. Amen. So a form of godliness is absolutely necessary if we would be saved. We are unequivocally commanded to assume the form of godliness, to testify by external acts our alliance to the Lord, and to attend on those ordinances and sacraments which he surely did not appoint, that we might with impunity neglect them. Say not that you should secretly and in your hearts worship and love him, because it is impossible that there should be an internal pity without some outward manifestation of it. If with the heart man believeth, unto righteousness with his lips, confess will be made to salvation. In other words, the Bible says if you confess with your lips, amen, and believe in your heart, you shall be saved. Amen. If you believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose on the third day and ascended into heaven, you shall be saved. Amen. But that has to be something you confess and believe in your heart. And besides, what right have we to withhold the acts of any external worship from God? Any external worship from him who is God of all flesh, as well as the Father of spirits, who made our bodies as well as our souls. Amen. Who confirms upon it daily mercy. He covers us daily with mercy. He blesses us daily with his mercies and grace. Amen. We have to start remembering the things that God is doing for us, that we say on the outside, I love my Lord, but on the inside, I just hope these people stop praying. I wish they stopped coming around here. I just want to go do what I want to do. They got to be church. But it's not about the church. It's about your connection to God. Amen. So the daily mercy that he purchased, it is by the sufferings of his son, who when was offered a sacrifice, not only did he endure agony of his soul, but also crucified. He crucified his body and offered at the last great day. He rose up from the grave and crowned it with immortality and glory. Stay with me. We're going somewhere. Glorify him, therefore, in your body and in your spirit. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Glorify God. Just don't say it with your mouth. Glorify him with your heart. Glorify him with your spirit. Glorify him with the way you treat other people, the way you behave, which, in other words, it is his anyway. So without the form of godliness, we will probably render ourselves guilty of the blood of other souls. We will be accessory to the eternal perdition of some who are dead to you. Some people we allow, they look up to us and they think that all this is well and all this is that. And they're looking to us for something. So they call you for prayer, you're not available. And every time they ask you something, you're not available. Because the form of godliness you have, but the power in you don't exist. You don't know what to give. You don't know how to give. Because the power is not activating you. There's no anointing there. There's no love there for your brother or your sister or your spouse or whoever it may be. You just know the things to say. Glory, hallelujah. How you doing? Praise the Lord. But you have nothing on the inside that will can change the lifestyle or someone else, can change the pain into joy, can change the pain and the heartache into laughter and rejoicing. You cannot heal the thing that is dying. There's no power there. You can't speak life into a dying thing. You know all the ridicule. You know all the signs in the church lingo, but you have no power. Amen? Hallelujah. There is no one whose example has not some influence on those with whom we associate ourselves with. As Christians, our lives have an effect or influence on somebody. If it's somebody at your job, it's somebody you see on a daily basis, somebody you go to the gym with, somehow your life has an influence on them. And we have to be in position and to be ready when that person who's been watching you and fellowshipping with you and wanting to be like you or wanting to serve the same God, you ask you questions. They're expecting a change. They're expecting that, listen, the worst thing a person can do is speak, teach, and all these things, and a person see you outside of the will of God. You done told them all this, and you were the example. When they was angry, you was there to lift them out of that. When they was going through, you was there. But when they see you, you're so missing. I just said what I said because I heard somebody else say it. I don't really know what I'm talking about, but if they go for it, and that's what you really is, a hypocrite. I know it sounds harsh, but we're going to get some scriptures. I got some scriptures to talk about some stuff, amen? Because it's crazy because I can say this, especially in my own life. Like, I can speak, I tell my wife on a daily basis, like, that's the one, two of the things I never want to be. And one of them is a hypocrite. And I'm not saying it to be harsh, like you're just a hypocrite. No, that's not what I'm saying. But we know when we are out of order. We know when we're not where we're supposed to be, operating the way we're supposed to be. We know when we're not walking in our calling. Plain and simple as that. I'm going to leave it just like that. Amen. The second thing I want to talk about is this form of insufficient unless it be united with the power of godliness. Remember that, okay? Because this mere outward service is a worship, not conformed to the nature of God. It's just lip service. It's just ritual. It's not conformed to the nature of God. It's not God's way. You just know some things to say, but there's no power backing up all those words. You ever see people, they be standing around you, and with the love of Jesus, they declare a decree right now that by the time you get home, that this and this and this and this, and you feel nothing just watching them. You almost can see when you're operating in the spirit, you see the fakeness. You see the falseness. You see the great pretender. You see the act they're putting on. And you standing there looking at them like, and you know what? You can always tell because the other Christian that's a believer and operating in God too, y'all standing there looking at each other. Like, what is going on here? And then one of y'all get bold enough to stop it. Like, listen here. Stop. Let us pray for you. And I'm telling you, we got to get to, okay, go with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 23, verse 26, because it is not conformed to the command of God. It is not of God. And I got scripture to back it up. Like I said, I'm not just going to keep talking, but I got some scriptures because I better have something to back it up. Amen. Glory to God. Proverbs chapter 23, 26, and it reads like this. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. Not the world ways, not your brother's ways, not your sister's ways, but the Bible says my ways, his ways. Amen. It says his ways, my son, my daughter, give me thine heart. That thing that beats life into you, that thing that pumps blood through you, give me that. Give me that love vessel. Give me that. Give me that love muscle that's pumping life in and out of you, that thing that I've anointed to love others with. Give me that. And let thine eyes observe my ways. In other words, God's example. Observe my example. Observe how Jesus loved. Observe how Jesus turned the other cheek. Observe how when people talked about Jesus and spit on Jesus, he loved him anyway. He loved them anyway. Observe how Jesus prayed. Observe how he went away and prayed. Observe how he rebuked in love. Observe these things. It is not conformed to the design of the mission of the Savior and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It is not conformed to the nature of that covenant, which is the foundation of our hope. I know you don't believe me, huh? Let's go to the book of Jeremiah, 31, verse 33. Oh, yes, 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 yes. The Bible is real. His word lives. Amen. Chapter 31, verse 33. Yes. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward part and write in their heart, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. When God takes in us and put certain things in us, we belong to him. He has stamped us. He is daily upgrading us. He done took you from a babe in Christ to a minister. From a babe to a deacon, to a minister, to a pastor. Wherever you may be, God has put a stamp in you. He put himself in us for us to mimic him. And how we mimic him is our lifestyle, the way we walk, the way we talk, the way we speak, the way we treat people, the way we treat our spouse, the way we treat our husband, the way we treat our wife, the way we love, the way we pray and worship, the way we balance a checkbook, the way we don't be operating in anger. There's so many things we have to mimic God because it is not conformed to the examples of the pious, all of whom have used language the same in substance with that of Paul. The God whom I serve in my spirit, Amen. I got scriptures because I hear somebody say, I don't know, I don't believe what he's talking about. Well, I tell you what, you don't have to. Go with me to the book of Romans. We're going to read it together. Amen. Go with me to the book of Romans. Hallelujah. Matter of fact, your very first chapter. Amen. Yes, the book of Romans, the very first chapter. And we're going to go right to verse 9 where it says, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit and the gospel of his son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayer. Without ceasing, first of all, without stopping, I make mention of you, Lord, in all my prayers. I make mention by thanking you, by worshiping you, by raising holy hands to you, by confessing to you my sins, the things that I've done wrong, by bringing them unto you. I come to you. It is you that I serve. It is you that I bring my spirit to. It is you, Lord. Hallelujah. It is not conformed to the example of the blessed Redeemer, concerning whom none can be so blasphemous as to doubt whether his whole soul has engaged in doing and in suffering the will of God. Oh, we don't want to suffer. We don't want to go through nothing. But the whole soul was engaged in doing and in suffering the will of God. Doing the will of God and suffering for the will of God. When it comes to suffering, it amazed me. We don't want to suffer. We have conversations about it. And I'm not saying it's easy. And I'm not saying that we can just grab hold of suffering and say, I'm like, stop suffering today. But we grow into it because we know that the suffering you're going through at that time is from the Lord. You know that suffering is from God. He is not making you suffer or take you through something to leave you. No, this suffering is to make you stronger. Not even just to make you stronger, but to bring you closer to me. Because when you suffer, you start crying out. You say, Lord, why? Lord, I know you got me. Lord, I know you're taking me through this. Strengthen me, oh Lord. Show me that I can go through this. Walk with me through this, Lord. Be with me. Show me who you said I was, oh Lord. Reign in me. And these are the things that I serve in my spirit. I ain't talking about muscles. I'm talking about the inner man. There has to be a power, a connection to God there. I should be able to go into the spirit man and say, Heavenly Father, use me, speak through me this day. This day that you have rung forth, this day that you have woke me up to walk the earth that you have created, speak to me, to your people. As you lead me to them, as they ask questions, speak and I will obey, God. Tell me what to do and I will obey. Direct my footsteps and I will follow. It's no longer about doing what I want to do, but I have to do what God has called me to do. Matter of fact, listen and do thus saith the Lord through him, because through him he speaks through me. I'm just an assignment. I'm just a vessel being used. Jesus is the remote control. He pushed buttons, I move. He say, speak, I speak. He said, cry in my suffering, I cry. But in my suffering, there's an embracing, there's a cuddling, there's a warmth there that is almost don't even seem like suffering no more. I just feel you comforting me. I know I went through that a few minutes ago, but oh God, what I feel now. I know what I went through 2 days ago. Oh, but what you're doing to me now. Oh, what the suffering was worth it, because God has to show us that in the suffering, he's there with us. Amen? Hallelujah. It is not conformed to the great ends of religion. These are to deliver the soul from guilt, to renew it, to re-impress upon it the image of God, to make us meet for the inheritance of the saints in light. Oh, and how certain is it that for these great purposes, even bodily exercises, working out, stairmaster, pumping 200, squatting 400, it has no profit. It profiteth little. The Bible says exercise profiteth little. I know you don't believe. So let's go to 1 Timothy 4:8. Because I know I read it. Hallelujah. And I like the workout, but I know it helps the physical, but it listen to what the Bible says it does. 1 Timothy 4:8 says, for the bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Oh, your muscles going to deflate as you age. Oh, yeah, they're going to deflate. You get an injury, you can't work out no more. You go back to what you were. But, all things, godliness is profitable to all things. We got to get so closer to God. It's about godliness. That's what it's truly, truly about. It's about godliness. Amen. I'm going to play a song, and we're going to come back, and we're going to try our best to continue. God bless. Glory to God, glory to God. If you lean on me, I won't let you fall. But listen, there's a part two to that. Your heart and soul got to be right. Our heart and soul got to be right. And what I mean by that is we really willing to give our heart and soul. I'm just feeling tonight, y'all. Yo 66, and I am still past the keeping it real McMahon.
Come on, put your hands together if you love God with your whole heart. Thanks, sir. because you ask, Lord, I'm gonna give you, yeah, I'm gonna give you all I have, Jesus. Here I am, here I stand, gonna give you, gonna give you, yeah. I told the Lord, I'll give you my heart. Yes, I will. Yes, I will. Yes, I'll give you my soul.
I'll give you my soul.
You deserve it. You deserve it. I'll give you my mind.
I'll give you my mind.
Yes, I will. I made up my mind. I'll give you control.
I'll give you control.
Look what he's done with. Look what he's done with me. I'll give you my heart.
Give you my heart.
And he gave me life in return. When I gave him my heart, I gave him my soul.
Give you my soul.
Now I'm gonna live forevermore. Yes, I am. Give you my mind.
Give you my mind.
Then he renewed my mind. Then he renewed my mind. I'll give you control.
Everything that I am with my whole heart. Use me, Jesus. Use me, Jesus. I can't give you half. I got to give you all. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, sometimes I listen to the words. Oh, the words speak life back into your own spirit when you engulf those things and mean it and hold up holy hands. Oh, they got to be holy. Oh, they got to be sincere. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Hallelujah. We want to do part three of our lesson, which is yet not withstanding the clear evidence of truth. Because these are many, 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 many people, male, female, even teenagers, some children maybe, who satisfy themselves with the form without the power of godliness. And at their head must be placed like the international hypocrite. That is the international hypocrite, the spokesperson, because they who knows that he or she is utterly destitute of love to God and the Redeemer, who has no desire of holiness, but who assumes the mask of religion to cover his or her sinful purposes. Yeah, yeah, that's what they do. They know that he or she is utterly destitute of love to God and the Redeemer, and who has no desire of holiness at all. None, 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 none. But who assumes the mask of religion to cover up him, her, whoever, sinful purposes. It's that cold formalist, that vain enthusiast, that worldly-minded professor, that person with all the titles in front of their name and all the plaques on their wall, the bitter sectarian, that censored professor, the unfruitful professor, the unfruitful person. That's just a sign of self, just unfruitful, always scriptures and praying and jumping and flipping and hopping, but don't have no power at all. The form and power, because true religion is godliness, moral likeness to God. Godliness has its form or a way of expressing itself, amen, towards God's confession. What is that? Prayer, praise, worship. I go into worship confessing. I go into prayer confessing. When I'm praising God, I'm confessing. It's not always that I did something wrong. I could be confessing my love even more. I could be worshiping God even more. I can be confessing thanks unto God. Amen. Hallelujah. Toward man, respect for the right compassion, for the misery, and a loving desire for the happiness of all. That's a form of power of God. Toward all mankind, respect for the right compassion, for the misery, and a loving desire for the happiness of all mankind. The forms of godliness sometimes exist without its power. There is often a great deal of external worship where there is no godly devotion. There is often a great deal of external, philosopher, but a liar too, where there is no godly devotion. Amen. Having a form without the power is practical infidelity. To have nothing but the mere form is to deny the power. That's what it is. The mere form misrepresents the power. The mere form counteracts the power. You're pushing it so far away by thinking, because I can pray the way I pray. People always see me talking about God. When you see me in the church, I'm shouting all the time. That's all I have. That's all I got. A nice shout that I can pray well. And I know all the church lingo and characteristics. But I don't have no problem. And by me doing all these things, I misrepresent God's power to those who don't know God. Because now I'm misrepresenting God, because I know what I'm doing on the outside, but none of that lives on the inside of me. There's no love for God. There's no worshiping God. There's no me really spending time with God. There's no me wanting to be more like God. There's no me asking God for wisdom and trying to get closer to God. So I misrepresent him. Amen. The form of power. Because every genuine existence has two characteristics: essence and form. The essence of every genuine existence is power. Every genuine strong man got some strength. Every genuine athlete has an ability and a power to do more than the mortal, the normal person. Every genuine singer doesn't need a studio to sound good. You see what I'm saying? That's their power. And this is true in the highest sense of godliness, which is and eminently a power and the greatest among men, because it is the channel whereby we communicate with the truth and the love of our God Almighty, our Lord and Savior, our King of Kings, our Lord of Lords, our Father, our Magnificent One, the one that we can trust and lean on and never break our heart. Hallelujah. Yes, God. Yes, God. It is a formative power originating. It is a controlling power, especially over itself. It is a benefit power of others for their instruction and quickening. Amen? It is a benefit power over others for their instruction and quickening. And when they get there, it'll be the same for them. It is a controlling power, especially over itself. If we allow God to control and stay in control, you know, we often say, they go from church, they go out of here, I'm going to get God to stand real, and I keep taking it back. I'm going to let God pilot the plane, but then I go take it back. Let go and let God. More church lingo. But you have to, the difference between just lingo, you have to really mean it. I'm trying to finish this. I got a couple of scriptures I want to give. The possession of the form without the power disposed to the denial of the power. You get me? Now, the possession of the form, but without it, to the denial of the power. He who has the form alone is apt to be deceived and satisfied with appearances, see? Because all you have is the form. So anything can deceive you. Amen? And satisfied with appearances. He resents as an I don't want to say impotent. Oh, my God. How about the impertinent to himself? The claims of anything further, he denies it. He strives to ignore it. And let's go to the book of John. I said, I got some more scripture. Let's go to the book of John. Amen. Before we get out of here, I want to make sure that the word was in it. It was not just me talking. Amen. That the word of God was present. Hallelujah. Chapter 9, verse 32. Amen. Glory to God. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? Now, listen, when it is forced on his notice, he denies existence. So you're denying the power, the existence of God's power, because the scripture says, well, make sure I got the right one, 32, hallelujah. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eye, one that was born blind? That's power. Okay. Y'all don't believe me. Okay. Okay. So let's do this. Let's go to John 9:29, because maybe this will help me even better. John 9:29. He knows that God spake unto Moses as for his fellow. We know not from whence he is. We don't know. Because when it is forced on his notice, he denies the existence. When this is impossible, when the power becomes an evident fact, he clothes it with impersonating. He clothes it with misrepresentation and ridicule. Oh, I got scripture to back that one up. Let's go to the book of Matthew. He disguises it. He misrepresents it. Amen. Chapter 12, verse 22. That's like the fabric, that's slander. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him in so much that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. You bad man. You bad. See, that's when you ain't boasting. That's when you just being who you are. That's when you just know when God say move, move. When God say do something, do it. When the power becomes too vulnerable to persecute it and strive to counteract, to counteract with it. Oh man, who is that? They say crucify him, crucify him. That is crazy. They want to crucify Jesus for what? You rather have a thief and a murderer go free, but the man who never did nothing. And listen, I'm saying that to say this. When you walk upright and you do have that power and you do have the form of godliness and you do have the power, expect to be attacked. Expect to be lied on. It's almost to say we are, or not to say you is Jesus, but expect to be treated like Jesus was. Because guess what? You're operating a likeness of Christ. And people who are not upright don't like that. The enemy doesn't like that. Because there is such a thing as a form of godliness. It's natural, it's beautiful, and it has its advantages. A form of godliness may exist without its vital power. This is possible at churches because you have the people who know all the churches and go all the church behavior. Amen? But guess what? It does have an alarming consequence. I don't want to hold you too long. Just want to, I'm going to try to, maybe next week if God will allow me to continue. This is good. And I got some scriptures here to back up a lot of good stuff because I don't want us to be fooled. And God don't want us to be fooled. The enemy or the formalist or the hypocrite or the deceiver has no sympathy with the sentiment of a true Christian. Amen? They will separate themselves from you. They get away from you because they start to feel that they're unfit of any exalted pleasure. When you start worshiping, praising God, and in front of a non-believer, they feel uneasy. Because a part of them, God created the whole thing. He created them all. There's a part of our spirit that's attached to God no matter who you are. And when you're in the presence of true worship and true praise and true prayer words or real Christian, that part of you starts doing something. But the part of you was denying God wants to flee or starts confusion. I want to talk about this if God's allowing people decide to come back on next week. Then we continue this because I don't want none of us to be fooled by the form of godliness. Amen? I don't want us to be fooled by the form because God has it for us. He wants us to be like the Bible says. He wants us to have the power thereof. But the Bible says having a form of godliness, denying the power thereof, they say from such a person, you separate yourself. Run away from that. Amen. This has been your Fix at Six, and this has been your Fix. And I've been your host, Pastor Keith McNeil McNeil. And until next time, I pray right now in the name of Jesus, peace, prosperity, warmth, comfortability, a renewing of your health, a renewing of your mind, glory, joy, happiness, outstanding reward, prosperity. I pray wisdom and joy. Listen, so much joy that you think you're losing your mind and you just start praising. I want an overdose of praise, an overdose of worship. Use me, God. Step in the gap for me, Lord. And until next time, we say thank you and God bless. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yes, 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 yes.